Our scripture reading today is taken from 1st book of Peter, chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. If you'd like to follow along, you can find it on page 1203 of the Sanctuary Bible. I couldn't get my glasses out, so. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in your faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word.
Father, may the words of my mouth, the meditations and the thoughts of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and you are our Redeemer. Amen. It starts off as a distant rumble, distant, subtle, and almost a cruel sound, a low growl that begins to set your mind ill at ease. You hear it, and you recognize the source, and a sinking feeling in your gut begins to form. Your body grows cold. Your heart beats faster. And you begin to feel fear grip you in ways that you cannot imagine. And the growl. Have you ever been there? Have you ever heard the liar roar at you in your life? This past January, when my third son, Corbin, was stillborn, I heard the liar roar louder in my life than I have heard in a very, very long time. You know, Malcolm, I guess you didn't pray hard enough. You know, you probably deserve this because of some sin that you're harboring in your life. Why are you leaning on God? Because you know that those that God really loves, he doesn't let these kinds of things happen to them. And my friends, the temptation was to give in to despair, to forsake what I believed, to call it quits. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever heard the liar roar into your life? Now, your situation may not be like what I experienced this past year, but I suspect many of you have heard his roar. Don't you know that God knows everything? He can't forgive you. Don't you know that you're divorced? God won't use you. You're an alcoholic. You can't be trusted anymore. You cheated on that test one time in school. No one's going to want to believe what you have to say. Do you really think God cares about your small, insignificant, trivial life? My brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be constantly reminded that the devil is nothing more than a lying liar who lies. The devil has one singular purpose when it comes to believers in Jesus Christ, and that is to convince them to deny the God they trust and walk away from the truth of the faith they proclaim. Now, as we walk through Peter's letter, we've talked about obedient disciples of Jesus Christ living a gospel lifestyle. A lifestyle that practically and tangibly lives out the teachings of Jesus Christ through the power of Jesus Christ for the glory of Jesus Christ in everything we do and in all the relationships and in all of the interactions of our lives. You might recall in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, we heard this many times as we've gone through this series, that we learned that we needed to live such good lives among the pagans, that is, among those who do not know the gospel, that are not believers in Jesus Christ. We need to live such good lives among them that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Peter has been teaching us about the importance of disciples of Jesus Christ remaining faithful and obedient to God in all things so that we will in no way damage the cause of Christ. And this morning, Peter is again reminding us of the call for individuals to commit themselves to being Christian disciples by growing in their obedience to Christ and by making an impact through their lives in the world they live in. In verse 8, Peter writes this, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith." My brothers and sisters, when the liar roars, when Satan comes out against the disciples of Jesus Christ, we don't need to succumb to the weight of our anxieties. We don't need to cower in fear. We don't need to hope that we have been that we're just going to be left alone. Peter commands us to resist the devil, to stand firm in the faith. And so how do we do this? How do we stand up to the devil and not be deceived and beaten into denying our Lord and walking away from our faith? Well, this morning we're going to look at three rules for resisting our enemy, the devil. Three rules that will help us to stand firm in our faith when the liar is roaring into your life. So if you're not there already, I ask you to please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. If you're using the Sanctuary Bible, this is found on page 1203. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Now, before we begin, we need to define what Peter means to be self-controlled and alert. Now, being self-controlled means to pull yourself together. Another word, some of your translations, if you're not using an NIV, may have the word be sober. Be sober-minded. It means be clear-headed. Know where you're going. Know what you're doing. Be actively engaged. That's what it means to be self-controlled, as Peter is using it here. To be alert means to be vigilant. It's the idea of standing as a sentinel or as a guard at a city gate. And you are alert, you are looking out, you are trying to see where the enemy is coming from so that you're not caught unawares. It's to be prepared, and especially to be prepared to fight. So how do we resist our enemy, the devil, and stand firm in the faith? Well, rule number one, humbly trust God. Humbly trust God. Verses 6 and 7 say this, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, on God, because he cares for you." Biblical humility is all about trust. Are you going to trust God, or are you going to trust yourself? And humility is always contrasted with pride, because pride is about what? Self-reliance. It's about trusting you. And understand this, when the Bible condemns pride, it does not condemn being pleased with yourself because you have accomplished something, whether that accomplishment be significant or not. The Bible does not condemn someone because they sing beautifully. The Bible does not condemn someone because they paint masterfully. Doesn't condemn them because they can build awe-inspiring buildings. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, celebrate that. Praise God that you have been given those gifts. Thank Him for that. What the Bible condemns with regard to pride is when any of those things, when any of the things in our lives become self-centered. Aren't I so great? Don't I do such beautiful things? When I center it on myself, now we've got a problem. Now we have pride. And I have walked away from biblical humility. Being biblically humble means I am going to trust. You see, I am a humble person when I trust that my wife is going to be faithful to me. My wife is a humble person when she trusts that I will do the projects around the house that I said I would do. For me to constantly keep tabs on my wife, that's not humility, that's pride. If my wife were to nag throughout the day, that's not humility. It's not motivating. It's pride. And why are we to cast our anxieties? Why are we to be humble before God? Well, Peter says it in the second part there in verse 7. We cast our anxieties on God because for us to hold on to our anxieties, for us to hold on to our worries, is simply another form of pride. Because it's me at that point in self-centeredness saying, God couldn't possibly take care of this. God couldn't possibly help me through this. The liar is roaring so loud, I have to do it. I have to be the one that makes this happen. You ever been there? I just leave you with this question. How does it usually work for you? Doesn't work very well for me. Doesn't work very well for me at all. And what Peter is saying is when the liar roars into your life, we, as believers in Christ, need to be willing to hand over our anxiety and our worry, our control of the situation to God, and trust Him. Now, Peter uses a really powerful image here. He says that when we humble ourselves, we are to humble ourselves under God's mighty hand. Now, he uses that because he wants to remind the people that he's writing to that God, the God that they are worshiping, is the same God who led Israel out of the Exodus. Now, can you imagine the amount of biblical humility that the Israelites needed to extend to God when they've got the most powerful army in the world at their back and the Red Sea at their feet? Can you imagine that? And what God says to them is, all right, folks, listen up. This is what I'm going to do. I know you're scared. I know you're scared, and you see Pharaoh back there, and they're getting ready to come, and they're going to beat you down. You think they're going to overrun you. I know that you look out in front of you, and you see water, and you say, this idiot that I put in front of you to lead you out here, why'd he lead us to water? I know you're thinking that. This is what I'm going to do, all right? I'm going to split the sea. Y'all are going to walk through the sea. And then I'm going to destroy Pharaoh's army. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? That kind of trust, that level of trust of saying, all right, God, never seen that one before. What else do we have to lose? Let's go for it. And in using that image, what Peter wants us to see is that when the liar is roaring into our lives, when he's got the army stacked up behind us, and we're looking out in front of us and saying, I can't see what you're going to do because it looks impassable. That the same God who led Israel through the Red Sea is the same God who's going to lead you through what you're dealing with as well. And he asks you to trust him. And the question is never, can we trust God? But is rather, will we trust God when the devil roars? Will we trust him? And we can trust him because what Peter tells us is that God cares for you. Do you realize, brothers and sisters, that the reason that God asks you to trust him to split the Red Seas of your lives, the reason he asks you to trust him when the devil roars into your life, is because God is the only one who can deliver. He is the only one that you can trust to protect you. The only one you can trust to lead you where he wants you to go. He can deliver on that. I can't. You can't. He cares for you. And he asks you to trust him. So rule number one for resisting the devil and standing firm in your faith, humbly trust God. Rule number two is this: identify the devil's lies. Identify the devil's lies. Now, rule number two is not as implicit in the verses that we are looking at this morning. But the Bible speaks to the necessity of identifying the devil's lies if we want to be able to resist him and stand firm in our faith throughout the scripture. So how do we do this? Well, Peter tells us earlier in his letter that as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are to walk in the footsteps of the Master. We are to do exactly what the Master does if we want to be his disciples. So if we're going to try to identify the lies of the devil, we're going to try to figure those out, it goes that we might be able to look into Jesus' life and see what he did to identify those lies and how he dealt with that in his life. So if you have a moment, turn over to Matthew chapter 4. If you're using the Sanctuary Bible, again, that can be found on page 957. Just want to look at Matthew 4 very quickly. This is verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Now, is the devil roaring at Jesus at that moment? You bet. You bet he is. Jesus identifies the lie in verse 4, saying this: it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So, devil tries again. Verse 5, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. So again, is the devil roaring at Jesus? You bet. Jesus, your daddy says that he will take care of you no matter what. So why don't you just go ahead and do this? Go ahead and forsake. What's it matter? It's just a small sin. Not a big deal. And again, Jesus identifies the devil's lie by saying in verse 7, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And the devil repeats his pattern again, and Jesus again identifies the lie and resists him. And we read in Matthew 4, chapter 4, verse 11, the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. And we see a picture here of Jesus successfully resisting the devil and standing firm in the faith. Why? What's the common denominator that we find in the story? How is it that Jesus is able to resist the devil and identify his lies? He knows God's word. Jesus knows God's word. You and I will be able to identify the devil's lies when we also know the word of God. When we are reading it, when we are memorizing it, when we are meditating upon it, when we are studying it. And when Jesus hears the liar roar, Jesus is drawing upon a lifetime, an earthly lifetime of having spent in study, consistent study of the scriptures, consistently exposed to them. And he is able to remind the devil, and in knowing the scripture, he is able to remind himself of the truth that is found in God's word. And my brothers and sisters, when the devil is roaring into your life, When the devil is roaring into my life, it is God's word that will help us to identify his lies, that will help us to resist him, and will help us to stand firm in our faith. So rule number one is humbly trust God. Rule number two is identify the devil's lies. And finally, rule number three for resisting the devil and standing firm in the faith, don't fight alone. Look again at 1 Peter 5, verse 9. Peter says, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Do you know who the most successful hunters are in the animal kingdom? It's those who hunt together. Do you know why they are successful, typically, in catching their prey? Because they isolate. They isolate. And the devil, as the roaring lion, works much the same way. He is well aware that all of us are stronger than one of us. And therefore, when the liar roars in our lives, his tactic is to convince us that we are all alone, that no one else understands, that no one has ever gone through what you're dealing with, that no one cares about what you're dealing with. And he tempts us to isolation, to turning into ourselves, to fighting off his roar all alone. And why? I think it's because in isolation that his relentless roaring can cause us to forget and finally abandon rules one and two. When I am isolated, it becomes harder and harder to identify the devil's lies and focus myself on God's word. When I lose focus on God's word, I give over to my worry and anxiety, and I begin to trust myself rather than trusting God. He isolates, pulls us away. And the devil knows that in doing that, as he roars into your life, as he tries to roar into mine, he will roar with the goal of isolating you for the kill. And Peter cries out in reminder to resist the devil, to stand firm in your faith. You need others. I need others. You need your community of believers. You need your local church. You need your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to point you back to trust in God and to speak the truths of God's word to you when you cannot read them yourselves, when you cannot believe them yourselves. Just last week, on speaking about the commitments a disciple makes, Pastor Sam spoke about the commitment a disciple makes to a local body of believers, to a local church. And it's a commitment disciples makes because we are not built to be reclusive. We are built to be in relationship. And we need each other. And folks, you all have heard me say this before. I cannot make it without you. I can't. There are many times when I'd like to try, but I can't. And the truth is, you can't either. You can't make it without me. You can't make it without each other. But we're Americans. We're pioneers. We go it alone. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. We need each other. And there is comfort in knowing that I'm not the only one suffering. There is comfort in knowing that you are praying for me. There's comfort in knowing that I am praying for you. That when I need to hear the truth of God's word, you can speak that to me. And I can speak it to you. When I need to know that God can be trusted, I can hear how he has worked in your life. I can hear how when the devil has roared in your life, you have stood up to that. And I can take comfort. And I can trust again. Because the truth is, God does care. The truth is, God will protect. God will lead. But he's a gentleman. He won't force it on you. He won't force it on me. but he calls for us to trust him and to do it together. When the liar roars, we are to resist him and we are to stand firm in the faith. How do we do this? We humbly trust God. We identify the devil's lies, and we don't fight alone. Peter says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in your faith. Let's pray. Father, I am very thankful for your word. I'm very thankful, Father, that we can come to you and we can find in it the truths that you speak over and over and over again, that you can be trusted, that you care for us, that you love us, that you want us to cling to you. Father, I'm thankful that you have given us the Bible, that we have a tangible way of being able to know these truths for our lives. And in all the many ways that Satan wars against your people, that wars against your disciples, Father, I pray that you would continue to draw us back to your word. Draw us back to the importance of knowing your word intimately in our own lives, being immersed in it, so that we can stand and fight. And Father, I ask that you would take this body and that you would knit this body together, that we would continue to be learning how much we need each other, how much we need to rely upon each other. And Father, that you have designed the church, you have designed the people of God to need each other. Father, I pray that you would help us to not be so prideful that we cannot admit our need, that we cannot submit to one another in reverence of Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Help us to do that, Father. Strengthen us for the tasks that you have for us. Help us to stand and not be fearful, to resist, and to see you glorified through it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.